Our text is from the gospel lesson. I'd just like to reread these words from Luke 12, 31 to 34. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Gracious Lord, bless us as we hear these words to understand them, believe them, and live them. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Dear Christians and those who are yet to become so, there is a great interest in our culture right now about survival. All kinds of books, magazines, videos, all kinds of how-tos to be prepared for when you might be without your technology, your utilities, or your police protection. And so people stock up with food. They go to firearms classes and invest in firearms. They build bug-out bags and all kinds of ways in order to be prepared for disaster, whether it might be natural or human-caused disaster. There are all sorts of reasons why we might want to survive things that can go wrong in this world. We try to survive the loss of a job, survive an illness, survive a battle with depression, survive the changes in our culture in terms of religion, leading perhaps someday to persecution, or the concern that we might have for our children and the pressure that immorality places upon them and whether or not they will remain steadfast in their faith. Anxiety for food, clothing, shelter, for our finances, for our health, even for our faith. In the gospel lesson today, I want to show you how Jesus warns us away from two things and commends us to two other things to give us the ultimate way of surviving the things that can go wrong in this world. The first thing he warns us against is anxiety, worry. That is when we completely focus on the problem and give no thought to any solution and certainly not any prayer to God who can help us. That kind of thing paralyzes us and destroys us in the end. It's okay to be concerned, good to be concerned. It's good for us to plan, to prepare, to work, and if we could couple all of that with faith, certainly to pray and to seek God's help in the face of our difficulties. But I especially wanted to show you that to overcome anxiety is not just simply that we cry out to God. A lot of times people do that, looking for God to provide them some kind of quick miracle that will get them out of their fix that they are in. But God often works through His Word, and He works through other Christian people to help us in our problems and in our needs. And so to overcome anxiety, it's important for us to know God, to know His promises, so that when we cry out to Him, we have something to hold on to, something that will indeed help us. The other thing that Jesus warns us against is reliance on our assets. We have had several gospel lessons in the last few Sundays that have focused on this theme. Last Sunday, Pastor Miller preached about the rich farmer who had all kinds of storehouses and barns full of grain, and yet these assets would contribute nothing to his own personal salvation. And so, in that sense, they were useless. And then the Sunday before that, Pastor Adel preached about the priorities of our needs in life, how we need food, shelter, so on. And we also need friends and family, and above all, we need a right relationship of faith with God. So our assets by themselves can be good and be used for good things, as I'll show you in just a few moments. But as the main source and primary way for us to, quote, survive in this world, they too are not going to help us. So we come to this great word in our gospel lesson today. There are a lot of words like this in the Bible. I call them hinge words. as Jesus explains the things that are wrong and the things that we need to repent of and so on, then he transitions to the other side, to the good things. And the key word here is instead. Instead, Jesus says, seek his, that is God's kingdom, and these things will be added unto you. Now, before we get to those two things that he commends us to have as we struggle to survive in this world, let's think about what it means to be part of a kingdom and to have God as our king. People in our American culture don't think so highly of kings. And that's because our founding fathers knew that human beings were sinful. And they didn't like the idea of investing all authority into one person. That's what a king is, a monarch. Mon means alone, and arch means to rule, one who rules alone. And so our country was founded not on kings, but on leaders. And leaders have only partial powers, and they must work together. And the idea was that if we spread the leadership responsibilities out, it would protect us, perhaps, from one person in an evil way taking over all things. But that, even in of itself, doesn't protect us from the possibility that the entire group could pursue an evil way. And so ultimately, we do need a ruler, one who rules alone. And the only one who we can trust for that is God himself. And this is what Jesus means when he says, look to God as your king. We said in our confession of sins already that he might lead us and guide us in all of our ways. And that brings us now to the two things that Jesus would commend us for survival. And these two things are the greatest survival tip that I can give to anybody today. The first one really isn't mentioned in the text, and so I'm going to have to import it here. And I'm doing that because this text is embedded in the entire Gospel of Luke. And we can't forget that. We can't forget that from the beginning to the end of this Gospel, it is all about one great thing, and that is repentance and forgiveness of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection to free us from the power of sin. Sin is what ultimately destroys. And if you think about any survival situation, what we are really trying to survive against, ultimately, is sin. And so, when Jesus is dying on the cross, there is a thief next to him. And this thief looks to Jesus in repentance, and he says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus says to him, today, you will be with me in paradise. That man received the kingdom of God. And that reception of the kingdom is primarily a matter of repentance and forgiveness. With that ultimate problem healed and saved and resolved, this thief had life. He had survived the evil things of this world. And that principle applies across the board to everything in our lives that we are trying to survive. The most broken marriage can survive when both people can sincerely say to each other, I am sorry and I forgive you. The walls of resentments that build up within family, parents and children, brothers and sisters, the only way that they can be torn down is to get down to the foundation of those walls and to destroy them with, again, repentance and forgiveness. I'm sorry and I forgive you. Whatever relationship we think about, whatever problem we think about in this life, that is the root problem of all. And I can't stand here and just say, now go out and start forgiving and go out and start telling people you're sorry. It's not going to work that way, because we look first to God's forgiveness for us and for our own hearts. As we say in the Lord's Prayer, and Jesus taught us to say, forgive us our trespasses. Only when that happens will we be able to forgive those who trespass against us. So, God commends to us forgiveness as a way of surviving the evil things of this world. The second thing is a little surprising. He commends to us a spirit of generosity. I want you to think about this very carefully. This is very, very important. In Satan's world, survival is always about selfishness. It's always about elbowing your way ahead of everyone else. His logic goes like this. In the face of disasters, which he has created, he looks upon this world and he sees people trying to survive, and he would lead us to believe that by selfish ways, we might be able to escape disaster. We might be able to get ahead of someone else and somehow in the end, if we are lucky, survive. But the reality is that in his world and in his kingdom, nobody survives. This is his game. He loves to watch us struggle against each other in selfishness because we, by doing that, are actually destroying ourselves and feeding right into the destruction that he has created in this world because of this rebellion against God and this sin. But in God's kingdom, there is a different way. As I said, the true escape begins with forgiveness, the generosity of God's great love and mercy to us to wipe away the debt of our sin, the guilt and the shame that we all have if we think about it long enough. I love this passage from the book of Hebrews. Therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to him, come to God through him, since he always lives to intercede for them. Jesus Christ is our intercessor. Jesus Christ is the one who breaks open the way of salvation for us. Because of that now, we are able to do something very unique in the face of a survival situation. Rather than being selfish and trying to push somebody else away and down, we now have the opportunity to give, to open our hand, to offer the helping hand of God's love to one another. Survival by giving. Survival by helping another person. As I said before, God doesn't always drop these great miracles out of the sky for us, but he often uses his word to strengthen us so that we can face our problems. And he uses other Christians who are strong in the faith also to help us. And so the other side of looking to that kind of help is also providing that help as God blesses us with faith and when God blesses us with prosperity. And our assets then can be used in the right way, not just for ourselves, but to help others. Your offerings this morning are part of that way of survival and of salvation by being generous and kind to help others. But it also continues as you walk out the door and as you live your life to help others, your family, your neighbors, your friends, that person that God may bring into your life that needs your help. And when you help in that way, with personal sacrifice, when you help in that way with your personal relationship, that then creates the bridge over which the gospel of Christ can pass. And that they can see ultimately the help they are getting is not just from you, but it is from God, their Savior. So how do we survive in this world? We survive by avoiding that problem of anxiety and that problem of relying on assets. Instead, we look to God's forgiveness in Christ. And out of that forgiveness in Christ, living by faith, we practice the generosity that God has called us to. Sell your possessions. Give alms to those in need. By giving and letting go, we actually show the faith that God has given to us. And not only do we survive, but the people we have helped survive as well. Psalm 119, verse 50 says it very beautifully this way. This is my comfort in my affliction. Your word has given me life. A word this morning, word for you to remember when you are lying on your bed and wrestling and struggling and worrying. Go back to these words. Have no fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Please rise. Dear Lord God, we give thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, who intercedes for us, the one who brings your kingdom to us. Bless us today and bless the world around us that we'll find and discover and realize and receive that kingdom as well in our lives as we live the faith that you've called us to in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.